Welcome to the Moms on the Level podcast, brought to you by Next Level Moms. Real, authentic, honest conversations about being a mom and more. And here is your host, Faye Morgan.
Well, welcome back to Moms on the Level podcast for episode 15. My name is Amy Ellis, and I'm filling in for Faye Morgan. Today, we're going to be talking about shaking the dust off. With us to talk about this is author Janie Pitts. She shared with us on our last podcast, she's the author of a book called Deeply Defined, Understanding Who You Are in Christ. Excellent book. And I hear it's on sale on Amazon. Janie, why don't you share with us a quick update about what we talked about last podcast?
Yeah, last podcast, we talked about what the Bible titles the triumphal entry. I think we had better names for it. My name was basically the people missed it and were clueless, and yours was like parade and palm branches.
Yeah, something like that.
where we landed with that, and I think everybody, the listeners, are familiar with the story. But if you haven't listened to it as a listener, I do want to urge you to go back, because what was happening is Jesus was on a colt, which fulfilled messianic prophecy. But the mindset, the first century cultural mindset of a Messiah was a king that was going to overthrow Rome. To make matters worse, they got palm branches, which is a sign of political freedom for the Jewish people. So basically, they were waving these organic political signs at this king who was coming down as Messiah, that they were thinking political Messiah,
right,
coming down, and they were shouting Hosanna. And Hosanna means save now, but they had no concept that a person could die for the sins of the world. They had the sacrificial system, and what they were meaning when they were shouting Hosanna, save now, is they were saying save us from Rome. Right. Also, to make matters worse, we talked about how the anointing at Bethany with Mary, which is Martha and Lazarus, Mary, had a pound of perfume just a day or two before. And so Jesus would have also smelled like a king. So he smelled like a king. He came in like a king. There was a parade like a king. And this was killing the Jewish political leaders who are in the pocket of Rome. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, as well as all of the Roman presence that had been ramped up in Jerusalem because of the festival. Because there were like probably around a million Jewish people that had come in to celebrate the Passover.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. That was huge.
Yeah, quite the hubbub. Yes. And so we kind of, at the last podcast, we took Jesus from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. And that's where we are. And I think you've got a scripture that can take us on into where he's headed. If you want to read that, it's Matthew 21, 10 through 14.
Yes. So I'm reading out of the NIV. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them.
All right, so this is another part of this day, this Palm Sunday, that we've been taught wrong. Again, we've been taught through our lens, not the lens of what was going on. And so we're going to look at first century culture, and we're going to understand some things, and we're going to read this very differently from how we have before. Again, I just want to point out that verse 10, you know, he entered Jerusalem, and again, the people don't get it. They don't call him, you know, the Son of God. They call him a prophet, because they were hunting for a prophet king. But there's a couple of things as we read the scripture that we need backstory on before we start to talk about it. All right. Because it says he entered the temple and he started throwing things around. Well, we need to know the mindset of the people that were in the temple. Last podcast, we talked about the mindset of the crowd. Now I want us to be aware of the mindset of the Jewish leaders of the day. So first of all, the high priest was supposed to be of the lineage of Aaron. And we won't go there, but listeners, if you want to take a note, Exodus 29, 7 through 9 tells us that the high priest has to be of the lineage of Aaron. And this was upheld for years and years until it wasn't. And in Jesus' day, it was not. It was up for the highest bidder. It ceased not only to be a relative of Aaron, but it, sometimes it wasn't, they weren't even a Levite, which is just completely, totally wrong. And again, it's one reason why the Jewish people were in an uproar. They hated Rome. And unfortunately, a lot of the political leaders were puppets of Rome. And they were people that had bought the high priesthood. They didn't belong there. They had bought it. And they very much were concerned with Rome and what Rome thought, because that's how they got their power, their money, their authority, all of it. And the high priest was supposed to serve until death. But in Jesus' day, this role was bought and sold like candy.
Wow. Okay, so you're saying that the high priest, instead of representing God, had, he kind of like also represented Rome.
Yeah, and we know what the scripture says about you can't serve two masters.
Yeah, it seems like
right there. Yeah, you see it.
Okay, so let me just make it clear, because some of this is really new to me. We have a crowd waving, as you said, organic political signs, the palm branches, shouting about a king who will bring the Jews from, freedom from the oppression that they were having under Rome, headed to the temple that was very much under Roman influence and control, and Jesus walks in.
I mean, perfect. You've got the right mindset. But in first century culture, a lot of times there's the saying, you have to think with both hands. So we need to put all of what we've learned in one hand. And we've got this high priest who's going to bow to Rome, right? That's on one hand, but get your other hand out and weigh it, because we have to think with both. We have to know both things are going on. The second important thing is that the Jewish festival of unleavened bread was coming up. This is a huge festival. It's talked about a lot in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. It talks a lot about it. Very, very important. And this is the culture and the connotation that faithful Jews were operating in, that Jesus was operating in. They weren't thinking all of this political stuff. They were actually very serious and thinking about this feast of unleavened bread.
Okay, so tell us more about the feast. Like what was it involving?
Yeah, like what it is. Okay, yeah. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover actually overlap. There's even some places in the Bible where it'll say like the 8 days of unleavened bread or the 8 days of Passover. And it, because what it does is unleavened bread and Passover actually kind of overlap and have come together. Leviticus 23, actually, Amy, if you want to look that up, it's Leviticus 23 and it's verses 4-8. It gives us a calendar of some of these Jewish festivals of when they're supposed to come to the temple. And so this is going to help us understand a little bit more about how the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover go together. Amy, you got that? It's Leviticus 23:4-8.
Okay. So it says, "These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Festival of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work."
Right. So you can see, oven bread is a whole week.
Yeah.
This is huge. And so we've got Passover on the 14th of Nisan. We've got unleavened bread on the 15th. So there was serious preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I just wanted to read you a little bit more. It's Exodus 13:7. It says this about the prep. Exodus 13:7. "Unleavened bread is to be eaten for those 7 days. Nothing leavened," that's with yeast, "nothing leavened may be found among you, and no yeast may be found among you in all your territory." And I'm reading, I think, CSB, but like the Hebrew is among your borders. Mm-hmm. And so they take that to mean your household. And so what they would do is they would start cleaning to make sure that they didn't have any yeast or any leaven in their home about a week before. And they would clean because leaven represented sin. Okay, so this was supposed to be a spiritual exercise to clean your home, to make sure you don't have any leaven in your household, to make sure you don't have any sin in your life. So this cleaning was to be a kind of a religious type of thing. You know, as they cleaned, they were supposed to be cleaning out their lives and their thoughts and anything that they needed to make right or get rid of. So it was the spiritual act as well. But I mean, when they prepped, I mean, boy, girl, they prepped. They would wash all of their clothes, their pots, their pans, their windows. They would move furniture. They would scrub everything in the house. Today, observant Jews, they like vacuum and stuff, but then they make sure they have to empty out their vacuum. They have to clean their filters in their air because, you know, if you had an unclean air filter, that could have yeast in it. I mean, it's crazy. They would even use different cookware. It was kind of like an extra kosher or like kosher on steroids to make sure that they wouldn't accidentally have anything. And you know, that leaven was so important. I already said they see it as sin. But the word leaven itself means sour. And I actually made bread for the first time the other day. Like I've made like banana bread and stuff like that, but I made yeast bread for the first time. So proud of myself. Anyway, but you can actually kind of watch it like bubble and grow and things like that. Yeah. And so if you know anything about yeast, when you add flour, it bubbles it. But what that is that actually is the first sign of decay. And so that yeast in their homes represented the decay of sin. And so they had to avoid all of that. And so they cleaned out their homes. They were supposed to be thinking about cleaning out their lives. It's to bring this introspection. Because as we know, you know, one small sin, it can permeate all of you.
Yeah.
And so that's why even just one grain, it couldn't be left. So when Jesus was entering, everyone had this mindset. Everyone was cleaning their homes. Everyone was getting the leaven out. Everyone should have been being introspective. It would have been on every Jewish person's mind. And remember, that's all in one hand. So that's a lot to hold in one hand, right? Wow. So we've got, you know, unleavened bread and the prep for that. And then, but on the other hand, you know, we've got that the political leaders were basically Roman puppets. So we have both of these things going on. So now we've got the backstory. Okay. So let's move into scripture. Amy, if you will, if you'll flip over to Matthew 21, it's verses 12 through 17. And we're just going to really pick up where all of this, you know, comes into play. We're going to see a fuller picture of it.
Okay. So 12, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you ever read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night.
Okay, so you may already see that a little bit differently now that we just did the two hands and you kind of see the observant Jewish perspective as well as kind of the twisted leader Jewish perspective who were puppets of Rome, right? Mm-hmm. So you already may see that a little bit clearer, but let's kind of break it down. Okay, so Jesus went to the table and he threw out all those buying or selling, right? He tipped over. I had always been taught that he was in this rage, that he was enraged, but that it was righteous anger. And I never could make that systematic with the theology of Jesus had never sinned. Because you're destroying property, you're letting your anger get the best of you. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense because that actually isn't what was happening at all. Jesus was not in a rage, and we've got proof in the text that I'll point out in a little bit. We have multiple things that prove that. He wasn't in a rage. Jesus was cleaning. He was cleaning out the leaven in the temple. He was getting rid of it. You know, verse 15, the children were there. They were cheering for him, right? Mm-hmm. And again, they got it wrong, clueless, because they were saying, hey, save now. Right? Jesus, save now to the son of David, which is a king reference. So they were saying, hey, king, save us, which again made the church leaders so indignant mm-hmm. because it threatened their livelihood. They were going to get fired. They could get, I mean, it threatened them to the core. It wasn't just this anger that they were jealous. It was way, way beyond jealousy. So we've got Jesus in the temple. He is cleaning. He's staying. He's hanging out with kids. You think children would come up and be around, choose to be around an angry adult?
No, they'd run.
They'd run. And here's the other thing. It says, I even skipped. It talks about the blind and the lame came to him and were healing. I don't know about you, but if I was blind and lame and somebody was in a rage, I don't think I would interrupt them. Mm-hmm. And be like, hey, pardon me, but can you calm down and heal me a second? Mm-hmm. So again, we see children who normally are not going to approach somebody who's in a rage. We've got blind and lame who are not going to approach somebody in a rage. And Jesus is hanging with them. Mm-hmm. So Jesus was cleaning out the temple. He was very much in control. He didn't sin. He wasn't enraged, but he did get rid of it. Remember, we talked about those graven images last podcast. We talked a little bit. One of the ways that the Romans oppressed the Jewish people is they had to use Roman currency that had Caesar on it, which is a graven image, which is why there were money changers in the temple, because you couldn't use a graven image as a temple, offering or anything like that. And so you had to exchange it. And these people had, you know, distorted that, taken advantage of that, become greedy. And Jesus was just cleaning it all out. And Jesus actually, and then there's verse 13 too. So Jesus, where is it? It says, Jesus said, it is written, my house would be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. He actually quotes two Old Testament prophets here. And one of them is Isaiah 56. I mean, if you want to flip there, it's Isaiah 56. And what we'll do is, y'all really should read the whole chapter, but just for now, for time, if you'll read 1-3 and then skip to 6-8,
okay,
it explains what's going on here.
Okay. So 1-3, come, sorry, 56. I was reading 55. Okay. this is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. And then 7-8, you said?
Yes, yeah, six through eight.
Okay. Yeah. Six is, and foreigners who bind themselves in the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to keep his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and those who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those he already gathered.
Okay, so we've got house of prayer in that Isaiah, and then in Jeremiah, we've got den of thieves. So that Isaiah verse that you just read, that verse 1 and 2, it talked about desecrating the temple. And it's talking about the sellers that were giving a poor exchange rate for that Roman coin that we were just talking about. They were stealing. They were being greedy. And then that 6-8 was talking about the foreigners. They were selling it in that court of the Gentiles. And so they couldn't come. The Gentiles couldn't come and worship because there were all these tables and stuff everywhere. So, you know, we see that. And just for time, you know, if you want to check out the Den of Thieves, you can read it's Jeremiah 7, 8 through 11. But that's where that Den of Thieves comes into play. So, you know, Jesus is, again, if he was in a rage, I don't know that if he were, you know, in an uncontrollable rage, you would be quoting scripture. And Jesus didn't quote one, he quoted two. And so I think that's super important to point out, you know. And another thing that gives merit to that, if we go back to that Matthew 20 or that 21 in verses 13 and 14, we've read it, but, you know, I just want to point it out again, really, the blind and lame came and he healed them. He was not uncontrollable. And the leaders were mad because Jesus had made them look bad. They had allowed the exchange rates. They were supposed to be cleaning too, but yet they allowed basically the leaven, if you will, to stay in the temple. But they also were mad just the way that he entered because they were shouting, "Save now." They were. It was this political rally. He smelled like a king. He rode in like a king. They were waving branches like a king. They were so threatened by it all. And I love, there's kind of a mic drop at the end, and I'll just go ahead and read it. It's in verse 16 of Matthew 21, but Jesus said, or they said to Jesus, do you hear what the children are saying? Because the children were basically saying, "Hey, King," right? We already talked about that. "Hosanna, save now, King of David." It's like, "Hey, save us from Rome." And they're saying, "Do you hear that?" And Jesus responds, he says, "You've prepared praise. You have heard it read." He said, "Have you never read? You have prepared praise from the mouths of infants and nursing babies." Mm-hmm. And what he's doing there, just for people in the podcast, he's quoting Psalms 8, 1 and 2. It's a complete mic drop moment. Yeah. There's nothing that they could say because Jesus is like, "Yeah, I know what they're saying, and they're right." And it just flew all over it. So basically, you know, throughout this whole day, this whole Palm Sunday, you know, Jesus came in, but he came in with the mindset of a servant, the Savior Messiah, not a political Messiah, but the Savior Messiah. And he comes in and he cleans his father's house, but he stays, he heals, he hangs out with kids, right? He even stands up for himself when they're like, "Do you hear that?" And he's like, "Yep, here's a psalm for you." But, you know, he was setting things right. He was giving the Gentiles a space back to worship in that court of Gentiles. He was getting rid of the sin of bad trade, of that greed that was going on and the lies. He was healing people, he was loving on children. He basically, you know, what was going on, we would say it kind of stunk, right? Just like yeast kind of smells. It just kind of stunk. And I think what we need to do on Palm Sunday is we need to start again, like last podcast, we talked about realizing, you know, that eternal mindset and the human mindset, good and evil and, you know, the creator and then just the created, the profane, meaning normal. Right. But, we need to focus. Like, okay, so what do we need to clean out? Do we have the dust of complacency in our lives? Where is like the muck and mire snuck into our lives and it's dried on us, like nasty rain boots? Have you ever had like those nasty rain boots, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just basically ask, are there any areas where our lives need to be scrubbed out? So I think it's just a great way that we can, you know, prepare our hearts for Easter and take Easter to the next level. You know, and Amy, since it is Moms on the Level podcast, I'm kind of curious. So like, what has God done lately to bring you to the next level as we close out this Palm Sunday time? What has he been doing in your life these last couple of weeks?
Oh, wow. So I recently started mentoring a young lady, married, one daughter, really neat lady who's a missionary with our organization. They're looking at heading back to the field. And we've been going through this curriculum, and it's taken us through Psalm 119. And, you know, Psalm 119 is just the commands of, you know, just talking about God's word and how God's word is. I mean, it's so many verses talking about God's word, God's laws, God's commands, God's, you know, everything. And it's just taken us through some of that. And it's been really neat to kind of, you know, I love God's word, but being a Christian for so long, it really is possible to just, you know, go to church, learn stuff from church, and then go home and think, oh, I know so much about the Bible, but, and then, you know, neglect it. It's so
easy. It is so easy.
So I go through seasons of that. Well, it's just like reading through that, God's just kind of given me a renewed love for his word. And like, it's not even just a, you know, oh, I want to read it. It's like, I want to be able, just like you just did with his word, just to connect the dots, to connect the stories in his word and know where things come from in the Old Testament and when they were said in the New Testament. Well, what was he talking about? Like, you just did what God has given me, you know, just a love for. I love that you did that because, you know, it's just been, it's been long time coming, but, you know, I love God's word and I went to Bible school, I studied it. So it's like, I should know it, but no, if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean,
yeah. So
I'm just so excited to have gone through this with you. You really do have a neat way of bringing out truth that, and connecting it to culture of the day, which I think is really cool. And we don't do that enough. We don't connect what's happening in God's word to what was happening at the time. And I think that's something special that you have a gift of. And I love learning with you. So thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. Thanks for just encouraging what God's already doing in my heart. And I hope that this has encouraged our listeners just to continue on seeking the Lord, continue seeking his word, and learning for ourselves what God says and what it means and how to know it. As you said in the last podcast, not just know it in my head, but do put that to action. And that means that I really do know it. So you guys, please pick up Janie's book. As I said before, I think it's on sale on Amazon right now. It's called Deeply Defined. And you could get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. And please don't miss what Next Level Moms is doing. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and just check out our website. We have stuff going on. And until next time, I hope you have a blessed day. Thanks, Janie.
Thank you.
Thank you to our sponsors, the Social Mind Center and Basenji Adventures. Check out Social Mind Center on their website, socialmindcenter.com, and the Basenji Adventures YouTube channel for lots of cute dog videos. Join us next time as we spend time together to connect, equip, and inspire each other.